A warm welcome to everyone. Today we have with us Mohammed Q. Amin, founder and executive director of Caribbean Equality Project. Good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm excited. I'm doing well. It's warm in New York and it's getting warm in New York, so I'm excited for the weather.
Wonderful. So can you tell us about your organization, what your missions and goals are?
Sure. The Caribbean Equality Project was founded in 2015 in response to anti-LGBTQ hate violence that took place in Richmond Hill, Queens, where I live. I've been living there for the past 17 years. Overall, the organization's mission is to advocate for and empower LGBTQ immigrants, particularly Caribbean LGBTQ immigrants. And as an organization, the organization's work focuses on LGBTQ and immigrants' rights, gender equity, racial justice, immigration, mental health services, and ending hate violence in the Caribbean diaspora.
Wonderful. So how does your organization work towards achieving equity and inclusion for the LGBT community?
That's a great question. You know, to date, the Caribbean Equality Project is the only Caribbean American LGBTQ advocacy organization in New York City. And a large part of this is to create intersectional organizing that fosters solidarity, builds coalition, develops community partnerships, and conduct legislative activism to advance LGBTQ rights in New York State. Some of the programs we have sort of that pioneered the organization work is our Unchained Support Group, which is the only Caribbean LGBTQ support group in New York City. We have two sessions a month. On the second Monday of the month, it's in Richmond Hill, Queens. And on the last Monday of the month, it's in Crown Heights, Brooklyn, at the Brooklyn Community Pride Center.
What specific challenges does the LGBT community face, particularly those from the Caribbean? And how does your organization address these challenges?
Ooh, challenges. I love this question. So, you know, we think about the Caribbean in itself. We think about our history. And if we reflect in our history, we know that indigenous people have always existed in the Caribbean. But we also know that enslaved Africans and indentured Indians were brought to the Caribbean by our colonizers. And part of that history comes from labor exploitation, it comes from division, it comes from separation, it comes from extractions of culture, right? But what came out of us as people, Caribbean people being colonized, is these colonial laws, which are still on the books in the Caribbean. In many Caribbean countries and islands, they still have anti-LGBTQ laws. And we're living in a very post-colonial world. Many of our community members who are migrated to New York City are fleeing family abandonment, they're fleeing hate violence, they're fleeing lack of access to housing and healthcare, and they're fleeing for safety and survival. And when they get to New York City, they connect with the Caribbean Equality Project for resources, for services. Today, we are able to navigate asylum seekers to access housing, immigration services. They attend our Unchained Support Group. We help to support them with navigating life in New York. And as immigrants, think about Caribbean people as a whole. When we come to New York City, it's a culture shock, right? And we have to acclimate to what life is in New York. For LGBTQ people, it's no different. The difference there is sometimes we don't come with our families. We come alone, and we have to navigate this world that we call the concrete jungle alone. And that can go from, you can experience homelessness if you don't have some place to stay. You can experience exploitation if you don't necessarily know who to trust. And a large part of that for us as an organization is to make sure that our community is safe, to make sure that they're healthy, and to make sure that they have access to services so they can thrive as immigrants in this country.
So how does your organization, if you do, collaborate with other organizations in New York to promote LGBTQ rights and equality?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. You know, I think about where we are in this moment in history. We work with several different coalitions as an organization, the Coalition for Asian American Children and Families. And part of this coalition, we are currently advocating for the 18% and growing campaign. And we think about what collective power looks like in New York City. And we do this work to advance legislative advocacy, but to also advocate for budget priorities that specifically impacts the AAPI community, the Black community, the Caribbean community, the Indo-Caribbean community. And oftentimes, our communities don't necessarily get the resources it needs to sustain itself. Lack of access to funding for healthcare, for schools, for infrastructure, but to also for community-based organizations like the Caribbean Equality Project.
So because you're working with so much culturally diverse groups, how does your organization approach cultural sensitivity and awareness in the Caribbean context?
Oh, you know, I think about when for Caribbean cultural competency is also equivalent to being culturally responsive, right? I think about the COVID-19 pandemic and how there was a lack of cultural sensitivity to how the city responded to COVID. I think about language access. I think about digital literacy. I think about access to technology. I think about access to just information. We started our food justice program in 2020 as a response to the economic crisis and devastation that COVID brought to our community. 3 years later, we are still operating a monthly food justice program on the third Saturday of every month at Parkside Plaza in Flatbush, Brooklyn. And we provide culturally responsive groceries, we provide fresh produce, we provide access to safe sex kits and PPEs. And this food justice program has now been transformed into a community resource fair where our community members could access rental assistance, they can access city services, government services, they can access health insurance. And a large part of that is to also educate community members on the issues that's affecting them. And one of the ways we do that is through our Mash Up the Vote campaign. We have been registering community members how to vote. We have been educating community members of what their voting rights are. And this is all part of building political power. In order for us to enact change, we need to make sure we elect candidates that will advocate for all of us, regardless of our immigration status. And in New York City, election season has just started. There is a primary coming up, which is happening on June 27th. And early voting starts June 17th to the 25th. So for folks that are listening in New York City, if you are registered to vote, please go out and vote early voting dates. And please go out and vote on Election Day, which is June 27th. And then go vote again for your candidate in the November election. And this year, ranked choice voting is back. So you don't have to just select one candidate. You can rank up to 5 candidates of your choice.
Wonderful. You've talked about resources. Are there any successes or achievements your organization has had in advancing LGBTQ rights?
Yeah, you know, this is, I think about advancements, I think about achievements, I think about success in different ways. These metrics are not often measured by, you know, we've had 10 people here, 15 people here. For us, we've had hundreds and thousands of people that we've supported. During the COVID-19 pandemic, we distributed over $85,000 to over 455 Caribbean LGBTQ immigrants in New York City. I view that as a success. We were directly able to put money into people's hands so they can stay in their homes. We have been a part of different legislative advocacies in New York City to advance LGBTQ rights, such as GENDA that was just passed a few years ago. We have been also working on the ground right now. For the first time, Republican legislators have introduced an anti-trans youth bill. We are advocating, doing a lot of legislative advocacy work to push back against what is being viewed as rollbacking our rights in here in New York City. In terms of civic engagement, we have been on the ground literally registering hundreds of community members so they can vote. And even though we are an LGBTQ-focused advocacy organization, we view building political power through civic engagement as a collective fight. And we register everyone, regardless of your identity and regardless of your race, regardless of your gender. Voting is a right that, as a Caribbean person, I came to this country And I learned about voting rights. I learned about the struggles of the civil rights movement. I learned about, you know, the movements that came before the one that I'm a part of. And because of that, I'm more able to educate my community members about the privilege we have and how to use that privilege to build power in New York City for Caribbean people.
Thank you. You've shared a lot of excellent information, a lot of excellent resources. So how can people get in contact with you, your organization, to donate, volunteer, just reach out to you for help?
Yeah, you know, we love social media. We love a good follow and a good support. For folks interested in Caribbean Equality Project, just search Caribbean Equality Project on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. Hit that follow and like button. For folks interested in connecting with me, simply search Mohamed Q Amin. That is MohamedQAmin on all platforms, and you can connect with me. One of the things I want to share is we have an art exhibition that's coming up. It's called Live Pridefully, Love and Resilience Within Pandemics, and it's opening on May 6th in Richmond Hill at the Phil Russo Park, and that's located at 95th Avenue between 126th Street and 127th Street in South Richmond Hill, New York, and the zip code is 11419. Please come out, see this beautiful exhibition of seven incredible Black and Brown Afro-Indo-Caribbean LGBTQ activists in New York City, learn about their stories, and be able to support everyone that's identifies as Caribbean. If we're going to come out of this pandemic as a more politically resilient community, we have to stand up to hate and we have to fight back with love.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, our pleasure.